Hello, and welcome to the unnamed magic-themed podcast.
Magic the Gathering podcast.
Yes. The more magic in there, the better, I think. So we're still working on a name, because apparently Manuscrewed was taken by somebody else. Those jerks.
Maybe they're not jerks.
Yeah.
They're jerks. they took the name first, so... Yeah, that sucks, because I really like that name.
I did, too. I mean, props to them for getting a good name.
How did we miss that on Google? You just don't know how to Google?
No, well,
we Googled
it's
that.
Hosted by MTGcast, so it said MTGcast Manuscrewed, so I thought it was like an episode name, not a full show name that they hosted on their
site. Yeah, I thought it was MTGcast, too.
Yeah.
Well, they stopped doing podcasts, so maybe if we contact them, we can
try and get it. Yeah.
But I think we're going to try to think of a new name. On a podcast.
Yeah.
We're just going to just randomly, for like 15 minutes, think of names, and it's going to be really, really bad.
Yeah. You're going to hear a lot of bad names.
But very entertaining.
Yeah. So this is Josh and
Adam.
And we are going through the Dragon Maids preview for this episode to talk about kind of the cards that are coming out. This is being recorded on Wednesday, May 1st. So the set is coming out in 2 days.
And exciting.
Yeah, very exciting. I'm really excited for this set.
Me too. I think this is a really well done set. They did a really good job on it.
But before we get into that, at our last podcast, we talked about we were going to the Grand Prix basically the next day. So we just want to quickly kind of say our thoughts on it. I had a good time, Adam. Did you have a good time?
I had a good time. This was your first Grand Prix.
It was my first Grand
Prix.
What
were you expecting? Did it meet your expectations?
It was different than I expected.
Okay.
I thought it would be a lot more like... tournaments, like, where you could, like, they'd say, hey, here's the pros, watch them, and you could, like, have, like, a little arena around the pros and kind of watch them play.
They kind of had the feature matches, but they weren't always pros.
Yeah.
It's always a pro playing a noob.
Yeah.
Not until you get to, like, the fifth or sixth or seventh round is it pro on pro.
And I guess I wish there was more information about the pros, because I don't know who these pros are. So I didn't know, like, is this a pro? Why is he a pro? Where is he from? Like, what's his archetype that he likes?
Well, that's
whatever.
Funny you should mention that, because 2 weeks from Friday is the Pro Tour. And we should definitely go to the Pro Tour.
We definitely need to go.
Because that will be what you want.
It'll really?
It'll all just be pros and the people that qualified to be pros.
Yeah.
But it is the highest level of Magic that you can get to. It's basically the Pro Tour.
I'm excited about
besides
that.
World Championships.
Yeah. Now, the one other thing that kind of caught me off guard was how common it was to, like, sell cards there. I didn't realize that, like, vendoring and stuff was going to be such a big deal.
Yeah. That was something I forgot to tell you. Well, maybe I did tell you. I don't remember what I said now. But I was expecting that. I know how it is there. All those guys go to every single event, and they have, like, binders of, like, Moxes and Black Lotus and... every duel, like 100 dual lands, and they're basically, it's like the diamond market. They're holding all the diamonds to keep the value high. That's what it seems like it is, but there's tons of cards, right?
Yeah, it was just really funny to me because we did a draft, which was my favorite part of the whole Grand Prix, just because I love drafting. I miss it. It's fun to do it. But it's weird because right after the draft, like, half the people ran with their best cards from the draft and instantly over to the vendors, like, what will you give me? What will you give me?
Yeah,
and
cash money, man.
Yeah. And, I mean, one of our buddies, John Favreau, came with us, and his goal was to, like, break even or even make money. And he actually did.
Yeah, I think he paid $20 for a draft and ended up eating food and got, like, $45 or something.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. So the first thing I did when I went home is I went through, like, my old, like, Innistrad set. Like, what we got? Okay, Snapcaster Mage. Like, yeah,
hell
pocket
yeah.
that.
Hell
so
yeah.
That's going to be, like, $15 or something I saw on the chart.
I'm thinking about dumping a lot of cards at the Pro Tour just to get a bunch of cash because, I don't know. I mean, I've had them for a while.
Yeah.
Give them to the vendors. Who knows? We'll see.
To the people.
I'm giving them back to the people. I'm doing the unselfish thing. That was hard. I'm doing the unselfish thing of...
It was hard because you're lying.
Yeah, and now the joke's too bad because it's overdrawn and I mess it up. I'm doing the unselfish thing, Josh, by taking money from the vendor, giving my cards to the people.
You're a true Robin Hood that way. Yeah, a magical
what
Robin
can I
Hood.
Say?
All right, so let's jump straight into Magic or Dragon's Maze because that's what I'm super excited about.
All right.
All right, so this set, for people that don't know, just a quick overview. So this is the third set in the Return to Ravnica series. And so this has all... How many guilds are there? 10?
36.
No, they're not 36 guilds.
49.
No. There's something like 15 guilds or something. Whatever, you can do the math. It's two color combinations.
I thought there was 10.
10 sounds about right.
I think there's 10 guilds.
Yeah, so has all the guilds in it. There are some new mechanics in it as well. There's split cards, which is apparently an old thing.
Yeah, when this first came around, a lot of Magic players did not like it. So I'm actually surprised that they're bringing it back, because I think a lot of Magic players thought it was dumb. Like, just the fact of how they looked, maybe.
They do look really dumb.
Yeah, so they were kind of thrown off by them, but hey, they're bringing them back.
Yeah, a couple people were telling me, like, when they play against people with split cards, you can tell when they have them because their head starts tilting slightly to the side. Yeah, and so that's going to be kind of funny to try and see, like, how nonchalant people are trying to, like, turn it so they can read it. There's a double color artifact things called, like, clue stones or something. That's kind
of a new
mechanic.
We'll talk about those later for sure.
Yeah, and then, of course, all the Return to Ravnica and Gatecrash mechanics still kind of exist in some form. Like, Blood Rush is there, Cypher is there, all that sort of good stuff.
Yeah, it's basically rounding out the last two sets.
Yeah.
It's bringing everything together. All three sets are out now. Now, this is one of my favorite formats, is block constructed, which means you can only use cards from the block, and that's the three sets. And I really like that because, A, you don't have to memorize a million cards and be worried about a million cards that your opponent's playing.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more focused. I just like playing that way. I like it when there's only so many cards that they could have. You know, I'm not a very smart guy up here. I can't remember too much. I got to, you know, keep it focused. I always like block constructed.
Yeah, I do too. I like that because it seems also like there's going to be tighter themes. Because in big constructed, like, there could be anything. But you kind of know in this tighter set, like, okay, there's probably like 10 different themes you could go for and try and focus on that.
It's definitely, it's tougher too that way.
Yeah.
Because you can build your sideboard a lot more focused, you know, and you can figure out that you're playing this deck and there's only a couple counters to it, so here's your sideboard.
Yeah.
And then you can throw in that one random card that, just in case you see the Merfolk deck, who knows.
So the way they did pre-release and what we're doing for kind of our office league, I thought was kind of interesting this time, where you choose your guild. You can choose from any of the guilds. And then you're assigned a secret ally guild, which is essentially a guild that shares at least one color with yours from the other set in the block. And I kind of like this. It adds some randomness to it. It is kind of frustrating if, like, if you pick, like, let's see, you could pick Boros. And you're like, oh man, I want anything but Izzet. Would be a great combination with Boros. And then you get Izzet or something like that. It can be frustrating.
Or what if it's like four different colors? Like, you get Orzhov and then you get Izzet and you have black,
no, it's
white.
Always guaranteed.
Okay, it's
to
always
share
to
one
share
color.
Color.
Okay,
yeah. Then that's good.
Yeah, so there's always like four options essentially that it could pair with. And so, I don't know. It's good. I picked, for our league, I picked Orzhov.
Mm-hmm.
Because I missed out on Extort last time, and I was not going to miss the boat this time. And I got Selesnya, which seems like an okay pairing. I don't know. What do you think? Do you know what you're going to go for yet, Adam?
Well, there's a common phrase. Fool me once. Shame on me. You? Shame on you.
Shame
on us. Fool me once. Shame on us. Fool me twice. I got fooled again or something like that.
Shame on Boros.
Yeah. Basically, I cannot believe how overpowered Boros was in Gatecrash. Like, so crazy overpowered. I mean, Blood Rush was overpowered at times where you just got hit by 20 out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But consistently overpowered is Boros. Just like, first turn this guy, second turn this guy, third turn this guy, fourth turn you have four creatures and they're basically dead.
Yeah.
Fool me once. So I'm going with Boros. I think Boros is continually going to be the best guild in the set.
I'm not so sure, because I think this set, and what I like about this set, is that it's already looking slower. It doesn't look like you're going to be able to burn someone by turn four and just kind of hop out of there unscathed.
There are a lot more removal cards in this set that can kill the Boros creatures, but Boros also got some pretty good finishers, which I'm going to talk about later.
Yeah, they did. All right, so let's jump into kind of our favorite cards, because this is my... maybe not be my second. I kind of like yelling about cards that I hate, too.
Okay.
So do you want to just kind of alternate here and there? I'll go first. I'm going to throw out... These are cards that we think are very strong.
Favorite cards.
Favorite cards. Yeah, so it could just be a card that maybe isn't even the strongest card in the set, but you really like it for whatever reason.
Okay.
So I'm going first. So the first card on my list is Voice of Resurgence. This is one green, one white for a 2/2 creature. Already, that's a solid card, right?
2/2 for two, it is a mythic.
Yes, it is a mythic, which means it gets extra bonus stuff that makes me so happy. Right, this is why I love it.
Tell me what else it has.
Whenever an opponent casts a spell during your turn, or when Voice of Resurgence dies, put a green-white elemental creature token onto the field with this creature's power and toughness are equal to the number of creatures you control.
Very nice.
That's incredible. Do you remember, like, Geist-Honored Monk or whatever? Like, this is almost like that to me, but it's so much cheaper. Like, you're instantly dissuading counter spells.
Or casting anything during your turn.
Yeah, flash creatures.
Burn spells.
Yeah.
Drawing card spells, anything. Like, a lot of colors get screwed here. And especially that it comes down so early, I can see why.
Yeah, and then this card's really good. It's going to die eventually, and then it's guaranteed to almost essentially turn into a better creature when it dies.
Yep.
Too. So that's an incredible card, I think. Beat that, Adam.
All right, I'm gonna try. One of my favorite cards is War Leader's Helix. It's a Boros card.
Of course.
It's cost 4, 2 colorless, 1 red, 1 white. It's an instant. War Leader's Helix does 4 damage to target creature or player, and you gain 4 life. This is one of the better burn spells I've seen in a long time.
And really?
Yeah. 4 for 4, and you gain 4 life. And it's not like 4 damage to a creature or 4 damage to a player. It's both. And that's very key for a burn spell, especially for Boros when you're attacking them. By turn 4, they can be at 9 life, 8 life.
Yeah.
I mean, this thing is useful in so many ways. And you gain life from it. So I think that this card is going to be used a lot. It's a great finisher for Boros. Mm-hmm. Like, even if you have this spell in your hand, you don't have to cast it fourth turn. You can cast 2 creatures fourth turn that have haste and, you know, like the Skylance Legionnaire.
Yeah.
And this thing just finishes, especially for Boros. This made Boros really good.
Wow, you think it's that strong?
Well, because before, Boros had Mugging. That was basically it.
That's true.
They did 2 damage, and it was 2 damage to target creature. It wasn't 2 damage to target creature or player. So this is a solid, solid burn spell. Not even just for Boros, just for
anyone.
Any red-white deck, any red burn deck.
All right, I'll buy it. But you know what's better than that, and we'll counter that perfectly?
What?
Plasm Cat Capture.
I feel like you planned this.
No, I didn't, but this works out perfectly, huh? So Plasm Capture is 2 blue, 2 green, so 4 mana total, same mana cost, counter target spell. At the beginning of your next pre-combat phase, add X mana in any combination of colors to your mana pool, where X is that spell's converted mana cost.
I like it, except this would have been better as blue-white card.
Yeah?
Yeah, because green-blue control, this is kind of a control card.
Yeah.
You want to be able to spend all your mana so you can still... I mean, you don't want to spend your mana so you can counterspell. And this gives you the freedom to get extra mana to cast spells and still leave your mana open to counterspell.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably still really good for green-blue.
Yeah.
It's still going to be a really good card.
I think it's going to be really good because green-blue has a lot of beefy creatures that when you do this, you have 8 mana the next turn. And
or
you can
9.
Or 9, yeah, depending on what your counterspell.
10 if you have an artifact out. Who knows?
Yeah. So you'll have so much mana to throw out on turn 5, essentially, if you get lucky and can counter something.
Yeah, I definitely can see this now. You've shown me the light.
All right.
So turn 4, I cast a 4 casting cost spell thinking that I'm about to go nuts, and you counter it, and then your turn 5, you have 9 mana.
9 mana.
And you
in any color combination. It's not even gray mana.
And you use it to stream of life to gain 8 life.
Yeah.
That's really
good. That's exactly what I would do.
That's really good.
Yeah.
So, I can see why you like this card. All right, so my next card is called Gleam of Battle. Hey, look, it's a Boros card.
Yeah, that sounds like a Boros card.
Hey. Cost 6, it's an enchantment. So I usually don't like enchantments. I usually don't like high casting cost enchantments.
Yeah.
But it costs 6, it's 4 colorless, 1 red, 1 white. Whenever a creature you control attacks, put a +1/+1 counter on it.
Okay.
Talk about a finisher for Boros.
Yeah.
Talk about you have no cards left in your hand, or you have 1 card left in your hand because all your creatures are on the table and they're all 2/2s or 1/1s or... you know, 3-2s.
Yeah.
And they're just out of gas. You're completely out of gas. And you play this card on turn 6, and now it's not at the end of combat or anything like that. It's whenever they attack, put a plus one, plus one counter on it. Oh, so you get a
before combat,
too.
So you
get, you play this on turn 6,
wow.
And your 1-1, 2-2, 3-3, or whatever, all just got bigger instantly, and you attack.
Yeah, see,
this, with combination of flyers that Boros has, it's really solid.
Scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're basically evolving like crazy, guaranteed, every turn.
Yeah, it's better than Evolve.
Yeah.
It just totally kills Evolve.
Wow. Yeah, see, that's scary. Now, I don't mind high-cost enchantments as long as it doesn't have to land on a creature. Like, high-cost enchantments that can sit by themselves,
enchanting
I like.
Creatures?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't... Enchant creatures are always iffy to me, too.
Yeah, so. I was real nervous when I first looked at this card, because that's what I thought it was I thought you put it on one creature and he evolved, essentially. But yeah. No, is that... I'm with you. That's solid. All right, how about this one? Master of Cruelties. This is Rakdos. 1 red, 1 black, 3 colorless. 1/4 creature, but he has First Strike and Death Touch. He can only attack alone, which is a drawback, but whenever he attacks and is not blocked, your opponent's life total becomes 1.
What?
Yeah, and he, but then he deals no combat damage, so he doesn't kill them.
He just takes them to 1.
Yeah, so
if okay, well then that sucks. I mean, he doesn't kill them, he just takes them to 1.
But yeah, but all you need is a burn spell. Yeah,
I know, I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah.
That is insane. So if you attach any kind of, like, unblockable to this guy, or...
Yeah, or any sort of tap spell, you can just...
Or if they somehow get caught with... only 2 blockers and you kill one and tell the other one that can't be blocked this turn, and mm-hmm. the next thing they know, they're at 1.
Yeah.
Definitely scary. And he's hard to kill, 1/4.
Yeah.
And he kills everything else. First Strike, Death Touch.
Yeah.
So it's like he's slowly every turn.
Yeah, he'll just chip away at the board.
Chipping away at the board, unless you have something that comes, like you have one of those really bad creatures that come back every turn.
Oh, every turn, yeah.
Like a 1/3, yeah, whatever.
I'm happy to let you waste your mana every turn while I'm building up my other bosses.
See, now you're thinking with mana.
Now I'm thinking with mana. There you go. There's a podcast name for you.
Now you're thinking with mana. All right. This next favorite card has a dumb name, I think. I don't know.
Yeah.
Viashino First Blade.
Oh, these are these weird lizard guys, right?
Viashinos are cool. I don't think that's dumb. I think calling it First Blade is dumb. It doesn't make sense to me. It's the Viashino First Blade. The more I say it, the more it sounds terrible.
Yeah.
Like, why couldn't it have been like Fist Blade or...
It's because when he enters the battlefield, he gets a perk because he's the First Blade.
That's so cheesy. The Viashino First Blade. Okay, so he's a 2-2 for 3. 1 white, 1 color, or 1... White, 1 red, 1 colorless. Boros again. Hey, look at that.
Yeah.
Why are all my favorite cards
Boros?
Yeah,
I'm noticing a trend here.
On turn 3, haste, when Viashino First Blade enters the battlefield, it gets +2/+2 until end of turn. So it's basically a 4/4 haste on 3. It only needs to hit you once. That's it. I don't care that it becomes a 2-2 after the first phase of combat.
Yeah.
Because I'm only using it as a 4/4 haster on third turn. Most of these big red haste creatures die at end of turn. Like the Ball Lightning, 6/1, you have to sacrifice it. This is a 4/4 for 3, and then after it does its ability, it's still a 2/2, and it's still a creature for you to attack and swing next turn. You're doing the Skylight Legionnaire, which is the 2/2 haster flyer, is good also, just because it's flying haste.
Yeah.
This one is good because it's a 4/4 haster.
Okay, I could see that. That leaves me kind of wanting more. I understand that its value, like, okay, we only need it for one turn, but I'd want to use it for more than one turn.
You will use it for more than one turn, because it's still a creature.
Yeah, and 2-2 isn't bad on turn 4.
On turn 3.
Yeah, well, he's 4-4 on turn 3. On turn 4.
Turn 4, he's just a creature, you're casting something else.
Okay.
Turn 4, you're burning them, you're playing.
Yeah. Hey, if nothing else, he'll proc Battalion for everyone else.
Boros isn't about... quality creatures. It's about hitting fast and hard, and
that's
before
true.
They know it, they're on their heels and they're playing defense and they're not playing the way that their deck wants to play.
Yeah. All right, next card, Aetherling. This is an incredible card, and apparently it's like a reprint or something. So it's 2 blue, 4 colorless. Pay 1 blue to exile him and return it onto the battlefield next end step. Pay 1 to make him unblockable. Pay 1 to give him +1/-1. Pay 1 to give him -1/+1. And he's a 4/5 creature by default.
It's so cute, Josh. It's so cute. how little you know about early magic. It's really awesome. It makes me feel good. It makes me feel like I know know a lot.
You know a lot of things.
It makes me feel like I know a lot about magic. I think it's like a reprint or something. Okay, Aetherling. You must be talking about Morphling. Morphling was one of the best cards ever printed in Magic the Gathering.
Just like this one.
Ever. This one?
So what was so different? Much.
So Morphling cost 5. It didn't cost 6. Mm. It was a 3/3. And that might be the difference there.
Yeah.
Also, back in Morphling days, there was no kinds of cards that did stuff like this. It was very unique.
Yeah.
I think, will still be really good. I mean, being able to make it unblockable, being able to exile it and flash it in.
Yeah.
Morphling had flying, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
I could be wrong. I have to look it up. Yeah. This will probably still be a really good card. 6 is a little high, but...
Yeah. It's a little high, but as long as you have a blue mana, it's unkillable.
Yep.
Like, that's basically incredible. All right, next one.
Okay. Turn and Burn. So it's a split card.
Boo.
Hey, man.
Sorry.
So here's the reason why I love this card. Burn is the red part of it. One red, one colorless, deals 2 damage to target creature player. So it's a shock.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The blue side of it, Turn, 2 colorless, 1 blue. Target creature loses all abilities and becomes a 0/1 red weird token. Yes, weird. It becomes a weird token. That's what it says on the card. So if you play this, basically for 5 mana, you kill anything on the board. You turn a creature into a 0/1 and deal then 2 damage to it. Because it has another spell called Fuse. This is what the other split cards didn't have. The other split cards, you choose one or the other.
Oh.
These split cards have an ability called Fuse, and you can cast both of them at the same time. So you're playing both of the split cards. This is good in Boros. Hear me out. It's good in Boros because if you're playing gates that are red-blue or white-blue, then you can have the ability. You don't have to play very many of them. You have the ability to cast both of these spells in your Boros deck.
Is it worth otherwise, 4
it's
Boros?
Just, otherwise, it's just a burn spell.
Yeah. Is it worth playing gates that are kind of coming tapped for Boros, though?
You can play the Shocklands.
Okay, yeah.
The Shocklands are good, too.
Yeah.
But I was giving an example for the common man who can't afford a $80 Shockland.
Yeah. So people like me, like that. All right. This one, I'm not really sold on. I still think it's kind of cool. Maze Abomination, 1 black, 5 colorless. It's a 4/5 death touch that gives all multicolored creatures you control death touch. This I like essentially because I'm a fan of any large creature that has death touch, because so many death touch creatures are just throwaways, it's trades. Mm-hmm. This guy will just gobble, mm-hmm. and he'll keep going. I like that he's a threat that you have to remove immediately, and he's a common. It's a common that people feel like they have to get rid of.
This guy gets better with every other multicolored creature you have on the board, obviously. Yeah. Playing him by himself, I don't think he's that good. If this is the one guy in your hand and this is your turn 6 and your turn 6 is you're playing a 4/5 creature with death touch, I don't think that's a very solid use of a turn, but very situational. I think if you're playing like Orzhov with them, you have tons of red white multicolored creatures and this guy basically is give all your creatures death touch and you use it that way, really good.
Yeah, he's like a spell that has like a bonus perk, I guess.
Yeah, he's a spell that turns into a 4/5.
Yeah.
So I have one more favorite card. You have more favorite cards than me.
I do. One of mine is Boros, though, so I'll let you take that one.
Okay. Well, my last favorite card is called Bubble Butt Shikaka.
I highly doubt that is the
real
name.
That's what it says. Bubble Butt Shikaka. Rubble Belt Maka.
So close.
I was close. Rubble Belt Maka. Maka?
Maka?
Okay. Rubble Belt Maka is a 3/3 for 4. 1 red, 3 colorless.
But that doesn't really matter.
And he has this little ability, like 3/3 for 4, whatever, right?
Yeah.
He has this little ability, though, called Blood Rush. And it's 1 red, and he gets +3/+3. This is a freaking red giant growth. if there was one thing Boros needed, it was a red giant growth, you know, because that's what you can do on your fourth or fifth turn. You just cast two creatures and one has haste and you giant growth the other one. And
how can they keep making these overpowered Blood Rush cards? Like, I thought we learned our lesson in Gatecrash.
Yeah, but this is not a Blood Rush card. Even though it says Blood Rush and the Magic designers want you to use it in Blood Rush, this is going to get used in Boros. And they're going to use it as a red giant growth.
Yeah.
That's insane.
That is ridiculous.
So Magic has a special rule, right? They have a color wheel, and the color wheels have like their allies and their enemies, and they're supposed to bleed into each other, but not too much. Like, you'll never see like a black like giant growth spell, you know, because black and red are black and green are like enemies, right?
Yeah,
that's the theory.
Yeah,
but they're just straight making other cards that have the same ability. Like, this is basically just a red giant growth.
Yeah, because you'll never use it as a creature.
So I don't know what happened to all that magic theory. It must have went out the window.
I mean, I think the guilds kind of force a lot of that because there's so many color combinations. But
anyways,
that is a good card.
Yes, and it will be a good card for a long time. Yeah.
But you want to know a better card?
Oh,
the Skylasher. Now hear me out, because this is one I think is really good, but I think I might be dumb. So I want you to call me out on this if I'm
wrong. Before you say anything.
Yeah.
It's not a straight red giant growth. We keep saying that, but it has to be an attacking creature.
That's true.
Yes. Giant growths can be blocking, you know, saving
play
other
defensively.
Guys. Yeah, play defensively. Yeah. So it's not exactly, but
it's still pretty
for
close.
The most part, you use it on attack.
For what red wants, it is the equivalent of a giant growth.
I just had to
throw
that out there.
All right.
Skylasher.
So, Skylasher. One green, one colorless for a 2/2. Already good. How about this? It has reach. Even better. How about this? Oh. It has protection from blue. That's just icing on the cake. Oh, how about this? It can't be countered.
What?
How about this? It's flash. Like, what? How? Why did they add like 10 things to this
how
card?
How about this? If you order now, you'll get two for the best one.
I'm sold. Like, this is incredible, right?
A 2/2 flash, reach, protection from blue, can't be countered. They basically said, hey, blue, go F yourself.
Yeah, that's exactly what
Blue,
thought.
How you doing over
there?
You can take your color, you can turn around, don't let the door hit your ass on the way out, and go F yourself, because you're not playing blue in this set.
That's how I felt with every set with Simic. Like, oh, yeah, well, you know what you wanted? Yeah, we gave it to those blue-green guys, not just blue. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So what's really good about this, too, is that it's green, and green has a lot of pro-blue stuff, just like blue has a lot of pro-green stuff. But since it's green, it's probably going to be being played in Evolve decks or counter decks with Populate. It's just going to get bigger.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that this comes out on turn two, reach, you can use it to block the blue flyers, but you're also going to use it to make it bigger because it has pro-blue, and you're going to kill the guy who's playing blue really fast.
Yeah.
So...
All right.
That's a really good card. I saw that card, and I was going to put it on my favorites list, but I stuck with the all Boros themed. All right. You want me to do your Boros card?
Yeah, do the Boros card.
And then you can do your last favorite card. So I saw this guy. I didn't put him in my favorites, but I did see him. Tajik, Blade of the Legion. Cost 4. He's 2 colorless, 1 red, 1 white. He's indestructible, and he has Battalion, which means if he attacks and at least 2 other creatures attacks, he gets +5/+5. And that's what's great with Boros, is you're always attacking with multiple creatures. I saw a Boros card that had, what's it called, where it's a single creature that attacks by itself, it gets +1/+1.
Oh, yeah.
For each of the... What is that ability? I'm blanking now. It was basically...
Honored or something.
It was basically the opposite of what Boros wants.
Yeah.
Because Boros, you don't want to attack with one guy.
Exalted.
Exalted. Okay, yeah. You don't want to attack with one guy. You want to attack with everybody.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Battalion. So basically, on turn 4, he comes out. If he lives, he's indestructible. So if he lives,
he's going to live.
Next turn, you're attacking with a 7/7. So, this guy's basically like your leader of your Boros deck.
Yeah. All right, so I'll go through my last two. Then we'll get into which one we think is best. Pontiff of Blight. I don't even think this is best. I'm cutting it right now.
I'm cutting it. It's gone.
Sorry, Pontiff.
Next. Man, that was great.
Yeah, he was ugly too. How about this? Far and Away. I had to do a split card
just
because...
we just killed that card.
I know.
Yeah, the design was shitty and the art sucks. Yeah. Next.
Should have never been printed. I'm quitting Magic because of it. So Far and Away, a split card. Far. Blue and one colorless. Return target creature to its owner's hand. Expensive, but all right. And Away, 1 black, 2 colorless. sacrifice a creature.
I like all the things that they're doing with their split cards. Yeah. Far and away.
Yeah, it's clever.
Pain and gain. Coke and Pepsi. It's all these things that are okay, so
it's quite clever.
Far is good because it's bounce.
Yeah. I mean,
there wasn't a lot of bounce in this set.
Yeah, none, essentially.
Way, obviously, whenever someone has to sacrifice a creature. And then the fuse, if they're playing, what's black, blue?
Dimir.
Dimir. If they're playing Dimir, they can cast it at the same time and get a bounce and a destroy.
So you can basically force them to kill
tons of momentum.
Yeah.
Tons of momentum on turn five playing this card.
Yeah. All right, so best card in the set. What do you think, Adam?
You want me to go first?
I want you to go first.
So, even though I picked a ton of Boros cards, I think the best card in this set is Advent of the Worm. And let me tell you why.
Please do.
It costs four. One colorless, two green, one white. So they're basically saying, play this in a green-white deck. Don't play this solo green. I mean, you could play it a mono-green with some splash. But, cost four. It's an instant. Put a 5/5 green worm creature token with trample on the battlefield. Straight up. An instant 5/5 for four.
Yeah, that's a... That is pretty
good. They've never made, not that I can think of, a card like this that is just this good. Usually it's a turn four, put a 3/3 on the creature, and that will have flashing, put another 3/3.
Yeah.
You see a lot of stuff like that. Never a turn four, and it's an instant. You're casting a worm, a 5/5 worm, instantly, and it has trample. And
that is incredible that it's an instant. I didn't catch that at all.
And you're going to be populating the hell out of this thing.
Oh, yeah.
This, you're not going to have one 5/5 worm. When you're playing green-white, you're going to populate constantly.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think this card is perfect for what this guild is trying to do. It can be easily killed, I understand. I think it was kind of a reach putting this as the best card in the set, but I think this is awesome to see something so powerful for like a green white, because green white is hard to play.
Yeah,
it is. There's not a lot of removal in green white. Green white is what it is. It's big creatures and protection and first striking and trample.
Yeah,
that's what this is. It's a 5/5 instant trample, and hopefully you populate it, you cast it at the end of their turn when they're not expecting you to do it, then you get to use your turn to populate it, attack with it.
Yeah, there's cheap cards in this set too that are just bigger. Populate, which I didn't like, but with this card, like, that's a great combo. Yeah.
So anyways, that was, I kind of reaching a little bit, but I wanted to go out there and say that that was the best card in the set, because I think people are going to use that not just in this set, they're going to just use it in a bunch of different forms of magic. They're just going to want to have big creatures.
Yeah. I'm going with Voice of Resurgence. That was the first one I did. It's the green-white that basically disincentivize spells, just because I haven't seen that effect before, and it seems like so powerful. There's never a time that I won't want to play that on turn two.
Yeah, that's going to be a really powerful card, and it's green-white too, so we both pick green-white cards.
Now I'm kind of happy that it got Selesnya as my
secret
guild.
This is something we can keep an eye on during the Pro Tour.
Yeah, see if
maybe a green-white deck comes out of the... It's been a long time since green-white's been a solid deck combination. So I'm really looking forward to it. That would be cool.
All right, so let's go to cards we hate real fast. I'm going to go first. Trait Doctoring. This is one blue. Change the text of target permanent by replacing all instances of one color word with another or one basic land type with another until end of turn.
What?
Yeah, like, so essentially, like, if they have an activated ability or, like, add +1/+1 for every mountain or something like that, change it to a forest.
Mm-hmm.
This is so specific that 90% of the time it will be useless.
It has Cypher.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so it'll be useless more often.
So it's like all your blue creatures are green creatures.
No.
Protection. No, I know what you mean. I'm saying I meant all your protection from blue creatures have protection from green.
Yeah.
And then you can switch it up. It's very specific. I don't think this card was meant to be played in this set. I think they made this card as a card to be used in other combinations with other sets, constructed combination.
Yeah.
When I open this card, when I'm drafting, I'm going to be very upset.
Yeah, I will literally tear it up on the spot.
No, you won't.
Yes,
you
I will.
You will get kicked out of the
Trust
draft
me,
if you do
nobody
that.
Else wants this. And everyone will start cheering
everyone
for
else,
me.
Yeah, that's yeah. Like, first round bye to Josh Augustine. Okay, so my worst card is, I hate these cards. Goblin Test Pilot.
I knew you were going to do that card.
One colorless, one blue, one red. Cost three. Three for a 0/2 flyer. That's pretty useful.
Yeah.
Three for an 0/2 flyer.
Not even evolved.
Dude, sign me up.
Yeah.
Man, I hope my mana curves out just right so I can cast this on turn three every turn. It has an ability, though. Here's the ability.
Oh, cool.
Tap Goblin Test Pilot. Tap it so you can't even use it to block because it's not going to attack. So tap it. Goblin Test Pilot deals 2 damage to target creature or player. Hey, actually, that's pretty good. Oh, wait. It's at random. Tap to do 2 damage to target creature or player chosen at random. Just when you need things to go bad to worse, this card will definitely do that for you.
Yeah. I feel like
blue,
this...
Okay, so hold on. Blue and red is about consistency. Draw 3 cards, put 2 on top of your library. Deal 5 damage to target player. Like, it's so just direct. And this card is so random, and it's so bad. I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate this card.
Well, I mean, so let's just say, perfect scenario, you're playing this guy on turn 3.
Uh-huh.
Your opponent probably has 2 creatures on the board. You probably have 2 creatures on the board. When you tap this, there's a 50% chance that it will kill something on your side of the board or hurt you. So it's not even like, you know, a 1/3 chance to hurt you or 1/5. It's just just as likely to hurt you. And if it's the only thing on the board, it's more likely to hurt you.
And it can kill itself.
Yeah.
It can kill itself, Josh. If it was a 1/3, at least you could have that chance that it does 2 damage randomly to itself and then it doesn't die. But... this is basically like, all right, turn 3. This is how I play this card. This happens to me every time. Yeah. I'd be like, all right, turn 3, Goblin Test Pilot. Your turn 4, you play that 2/2 that you like the best. What's your favorite card of the set?
Oh, Voice of Resurgence.
Voice of Resurgence. And I'm like, oh, God, I got to kill the Voice of Resurgence. All right, untap. Tap Goblin Test Pilot. Randomly choose a creature. Goblin Test Pilot. Oh, I killed myself. Well, entering my scoop phase.
Yeah, glad I wasted 2 turns doing that.
Yeah.
Like, this feels like a creature I should play, and it should go on your side of the board. Like,
yeah.
Sucker.
Target opponent must use this card every turn.
Yeah, that is a really bad card. All right, so I'm going to give you... how about Runner's Bane? This is another blue card. 1 blue, 1 colorless. Enchant creature with power 3 or less. It basically becomes... it can't untap during its next untapped step. And you tap it. So it's like pacifism, sort of. But they can still activate their abilities. It can only be creatures 3 or less. So if you draw this late in the game, it's kind of worthless.
Yeah, it's your enchant creature too, right?
Yeah, it is. Enchant creature, which is just even worse.
Yeah, I can see why you don't like that card.
All right. Let's see. How about Riot Control? This one, I think, may be one of the worst cards in the set. But I'm curious on your thoughts. This is... here you go.
I didn't think this card was that bad. You didn't like this card because you want to... hold on. Let's say the card first. Riot Control. Cost 3. 1 white, 2 colorless. An instant. Gain 1 life for each creature your opponents control. Prevent all damage that would be dealt to you. So it's like a white fog that you also get to gain life off of. Fogs are usually pretty bad. Maybe you play
this. And fogs are bad at 1 mana cost.
Yeah. And they're good. I kind of have more... I have a special place in my heart for cards like these because I've won many drafts with cards like this. Because in a draft, this is a trick that can save you the game. And every time you play a card like this, your person you're playing against is like, really?
Yeah.
Really?
I lost to that card.
You played Riot Control, and that's why I'm conceding right now?
Yeah.
I hate you. Because they're not expecting you to play a fog. But, yeah, I mean, it's not going to get any play in Constructed.
Yeah. It's just, it's lackluster and overpriced.
Yeah. All right. So, you have a lot of cards that you hate. I only had 2, theoretically. I had Goblin Test Pilot, and then I have every Clue Stone. So, you hinted earlier that Clue Stones are a unique thing to this set.
Yeah.
I despise these Clue Stones.
Despise?
I despise them.
What? How?
They cost too much. They cost 3. So every Clue Stone, there's 5 of them, and they're basically the dual lands or the gates of each guild.
Yeah.
They give 2 different colors of mana. They cost 3. That's way too much. You're not going to be wasting your turn 3 turn to cast your mana accelerator.
I mean, didn't we do that with the little amulets or whatever those were in the previous sets?
So here's what else they do. they give one color, they give two colors, like a green, red, right? They also have an ability, which is tap two and tap it, sack it to draw a card. They all have that ability.
Yeah.
The reason why I don't like it is because it's not like tap two, sack it. It's tap two and tap that artifact. So you can't even tap the artifact for mana to use it to... So in Scars of Mirrodin, they had those bombs, spell bombs. And it was one colorless, and you could sack them, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot better. The fact that you have to actually tap this, you can't use it for mana, you're using it... If you're using it to sacrifice to draw a card, it was useless for you anyways.
Yeah.
And if you're using it as a mana accelerator, you have gates and shocklands. You don't need another accelerator artifact.
Except that you can play this in addition to a land on the same turn.
I feel like you're wasting a turn if you're doing that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't like these. I think they would have been a lot better if they cost two and the ability that you could use to trigger it, you could actually tap it and use the ability
for
the
mana. So it really only cost one in theory.
In theory, it cost one. Yeah. And that's why I don't like these clue stones. They do this all the time. The reason why is because they've done this before. They've made three casting cost artifacts that tap for mana.
Yeah.
And the difference here is this one taps for two different kinds of mana, but they just don't work. They don't see a lot of play.
It does feel a bit like filler. It feels like, oh, we need, you know, something that's more guildy in this set. Like,
or they were trying to make it so people always have the ability to cast anything in their sets, you know, because they have all the mana available to them.
Yeah.
But that just slows the game down. Go right ahead. Yeah. Slow the game down for yourself. I'm playing two colors. I'm playing Boros. I'm dancing to one song and one song only.
Okay? That song is death.
That song is my humps.
Yeah. Official Boros soundtrack.
Boros soundtrack, because it's provocative. So...
All right.
That's why I don't like these.
All right. I do like that it will allow you to kind of splash on other colors a bit easier without having to commit to, like, you know, taking up land space. But all right. I got a worse card for you. Drown in Filth. I know you agree with me on this one. This is one black, one green. Choose target creature. It's a sorcery spell. Choose target creature. Put the top four cards of your library into your graveyard. Then that creature gets -1/-1 until end of turn for each land card in your graveyard.
Do you know what would go good with this card? If you played four colors, if you played blue, red, green, black, and you played this with Goblin Test Pilot.
There you go.
So, like, your whole deck is random. Like, you don't even... How fun is that? You don't even know what's going to happen. It's so exciting.
I mean,
you're just Goblin Test Piloting, and you're drowning in a fill, and it's just the worst.
Oh, it's -0/-0. That's great.
Yeah. Oh, I take the top four cards in my library, and then if it's one of them's a land, it gets -1/-1. All right, so I need to kill a 2/2.
Yeah.
Good card. Dual land that I needed.
Yeah.
Good card. Oh, -1/-1, I don't kill the creature.
Yeah.
Or let's say it's the other way, right?
Yeah.
You get four lands. But if you cast it on turn two and you just mill four lands off the side of your library, good luck getting lands the rest of the game.
Like,
you screwed your whole game up.
Yeah, when you play this early, no matter what happens, you will be sad.
Yeah.
Either the creature didn't die or all your mana is gone.
Yeah, or the creature did die and all your mana is gone.
Yeah.
Or you got no land and the creature didn't die and all your good cards are gone, and then you're going to get mana for the next four turns.
Or you got mana screwed, but it was one short, and so the creature still lives, because it's only till end of turn, right? So, I mean, it's not even like a...
Well, at least it's an inst... Oh, wait, no, it's a sorcery.
No, yeah.
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, great, if you're getting milled, you can use this to kind of backlash, but...
Yeah. So, let's... Do you want to move on to worse cards, or...
I've got two more I want to bring up. All right, off for the guilds.
So, spoiler, that was my worst card in the set.
Oh, it was? Okay.
That was my worst card in the set. Yeah. I absolutely hate it. I'll touch on it more when we do worst cards in the
set. All right, so I won't even cover it now then. All right. Okay. Other one is Notion Thief.
No. The Drown in Filth was my worst
card. Oh, your Drown in Filth one.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, right.
All right, so off for the guilds.
Okay.
This is one red, two colorless. It's a sorcery spell. Monocolored creatures can't block this turn.
You didn't like a lot of cards in this set.
No, I didn't. Yeah.
What's wrong with this? Monocolored creatures can't block this turn.
Okay, so first of all, if you gave me a spell that was 3 mana for, you know, all enemy creatures can't block this turn, I'd play it.
Actually, I probably wouldn't even play that.
Yeah. Like, I might play in a Boros deck or something like that, maybe. In a hyper-aggressive deck, I would play it. But monocolored creatures in a set that is all about non-monocolored creatures?
Uh-huh.
There's, like... 6 cards, I think, for each monocolor. Like, that's it.
No, it's definitely very... If this card works and wins you a game, congratulations, good sir.
Yeah.
You had the right opponent.
Yeah.
You know what they should do is they should drop the E from it, and it'd be, aw, for the guilds.
Aw, for the guilds. Yeah, I don't understand that card at all. It seems terrible.
Red always gets a lot of bad cards. What's wrong with that?
I don't know.
Guys, why do you hate on red so much?
It's because all the Boros cards are amazing, so they have to try and drag them down somehow.
Yeah, red gets a lot of bad cards.
All right. The other card I don't like, Notion Thief. This is 1 black, 1 blue, 2 colorless. It's a human rogue creature, 3/1. So a 3/1 for 4. That's already really bad. But it is flash. Okay, that's something. So it's like a trade. Savior of the universe.
Yep.
If an opponent would draw a card, accept the first one he or she draws in each of his or her draw steps. Instead, that player skips that draw and you draw a card. Okay. So essentially it's like kind of like a soft counter for a draw card spell? Right?
No, if an opponent would draw a card, except the first one he draws,
yeah.
So they get their draw step. So if they were going to draw a card, they instead skip that draw and you draw a card.
Right. So
if they cast like a fact or fiction, which is draw five cards, no, I'm sorry, like a sign in blood, which is draw 2 cards.
Yeah.
So you draw the 2 cards.
So you would flash this in at that point.
You flash this in and then you draw 2 cards.
Yeah. But it's just, I mean, I guess you have to know your opponent's deck really well for this to be even potentially worthwhile.
Yeah. I think this card will get played. I think it'll get played.
How many cards have you draw extra cards, though? I mean,
well, it's blue. I mean, that's blue constructed will always have draw.
Right.
Draw
but you're abilities. Playing blue, so I guess only if you're playing against blue.
Yeah,
then
it's
you
a
would
sideboard
use this
card, maybe. Who knows? Flash it in a deck that doesn't have a lot of creatures, that doesn't play a lot of creatures.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see how it's very wishy-washy. What's funny is I love when they say his or her. Like, they have to say his or her because it's either a man or a woman playing Magic.
Yeah.
And I can't offend everyone. I would love to see Magic in, like, Futurama or, like, Star Wars. Like, if his or her or thing or Wookiee it or plays a...
Ghost.
Yeah. All right,
yeah, so that's pretty much it. There were other cards I didn't like, but none I need to talk about.
Let's go to the worst card.
Our worst card. Actually, just by reading Reddit, I would think the worst card was Amara Tandris. Did you see the rage about this card?
I did not see the rage.
So Reddit,
are you telling me people rage on Reddit?
I know. Can you believe it?
Are you serious?
So, like, seriously, though, every single thread for, like, 3 days was about this card.
They obviously were not reading Goblin Quest.
So it's the Selesnya. It's the Selesnya, like, guild mage or whatever, guild champion. It's 7 mana, 1 green, 1 white, and then 5 colorless for a 5/7 creature. Prevent all damage that would be dealt to creature tokens you control.
So what were they raging about? That it cost too much?
That it cost too much big. And that it's not as powerful. That it's easy to work around. You just kill her and then you kill whatever.
So
like.
We're both game designers.
Yeah.
I'm going to use my game designer mind here.
Do it.
I'm going to guess that originally this card was like a 5/5 for 6...
Yeah.
And it was just way too strong in playtesting. This looks like the card got nerfed pre it coming out.
Yeah.
I could totally see this. I could totally see them testing with this card, and then it was too powerful, and then they didn't know how to make it worse, and they didn't want it to be so bad. Because I think they intended this card to do something, but this screams overpowered. And they nerfed the hell out of it by making it a 5/7 and making it cost 7.
Yeah. It feels a little bit like Shambleshark. What was the other Flash Evolve one that we talked about in Gatecrash? Where it was like, it was a Flash Simic creature that was powerful, but its mana was just way out of proportion. Whereas, like, I forget what it was.
I don't remember. Yeah, like, I remember you saying that. Josh, I can't remember what I did yesterday.
I understand.
But... I hope I'm right here. I think that's what happened. Because you don't just make something like this. When you're making a Magic card, I would think you intend to make your Magic card for a certain player type or archetype. And you don't want to make it not played or useless, especially a legendary creature.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling this was definitely overpowered in testing. They had to do something. They nerfed it.
And maybe in testing, I mean, there were more token creatures. I mean, because you brought up the best token creature, but it's one of the few token creatures in the whole set.
Well, imagine if that was... can be dealt any damage.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of token creatures. There's a lot of centaurs and stuff, so...
Yeah. So, alright. So, me, though, I'm sticking with Off for the Guilds. I think that's the worst card in the set. I don't think there's any set where you would want
aww.
That. Aww. For the guilds.
Okay. So mine was Drown in Filth. Once again.
Yeah.
Let me reiterate this card. It's a removal spell. You choose a creature at sorcery speed, which is really slow.
Yeah.
You put the top four cards of your library into your graveyard, and if any of those are lands, it gets -1/-1 for
each
land.
It's like any card in your graveyard. So if it was in the graveyard before, it still counts.
Still bad.
Yeah, no, I agree.
You still have to cast.
It's still really bad.
So you're casting this, like we said, on turn two to get rid of a really good turn two, like their Snapcaster Mage or something, right? You're trying to get rid of something. And you're basically just hoping the top of your deck gets lands to get it. And maybe you're not. Maybe you're using it to mill the top four cards of your library.
That's honestly probably the best way to use this card. That's
It's
a mill card.
You have to mill yourself to then get stuff out of your graveyard.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right. So I think we agree on that one. Those are two top contenders for the worst card in the set.
What I love about this podcast is that we will see in our next podcast, because we'll actually be playing with all these cards. All
right. So I got Orzhov and Selesnya. So my secret, my implied guild is Golgari as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think my goal is I'm going to try and go for those two cards that we think are the best. Voice of Resurgence. I want to spam those like crazy. And I want to get that Trample Worm token. And I want to try and just kind of stall people out with that Voice of Resurgence and then kind of build a big army.
Use your Centaur tokens.
Mm-hmm.
Have a lot of good mid game, because if you get to late game, you're going to win.
Yeah.
I'm Boros with the side of Boros.
Are you really not even going to do a different color at all?
Actually, I wish I could Is It, actually.
Yeah.
Because I think Boros Is It would be good, because I can use that split card.
Oh, yeah.
Far and Away. Not Far and Away.
Which one was that?
Turn and Burn. I can use Turn and Burn. I can maybe slide in some Bounce if I need be.
Yeah.
But there's mostly just going to be Ground and Pound.
Dude, you could get some Gridlocks.
Gridlock. That would destroy them. Okay. Yeah. So that's what I'm hoping for.
All right. Cool. So that's our plan. We'll let you know when we do our review podcast, probably in a couple weeks after we've had a chance to play with the set and see what we think.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go through and kind of look back at these cards and see if we were totally wrong on some of them.
And we will be able to talk about the Pro Tour.
Oh, yeah, the Pro Tour. That's cool. So that's going to be 2 weeks, so maybe we'll record right after the Pro Tour.
Yeah, that'll be
good. And kind of talk about that.
Good deal.
Yeah. So, awesome. Thanks for tuning in for another episode. If you want to talk with me, I'm on Twitter. I am at Jay Augustine.
And I am at R. Klager. And hit us up. Give us names for our Magic podcast.
Yes.
we're really struggling here to try to think of a good name.
Yeah.
It's because we care so much. We really want.
We care too much.
We care too much. That's why we don't have a name yet.
It's tough. I mean, it's like naming a baby, right?
I mean, you're not going to just name your kid.
Yeah. We don't want this podcast getting beat up on the playground.
Yeah. What if when you named your kid, you had to name it something that nobody else had?
Wow.
Because that's our struggle.
My
name's Adam doesn't mean somebody else can't name their kid Adam. Like, we can't name our podcast the Mana Screwed Podcast because somebody else named it that.
That's
so
true.
What if you had to name your kid that way? There'd be so many random children names.
Yeah. It would just be letters, just like unpronounceable. Just
they'd just be barcodes after a while.
That's true, yeah. Just numbers.
Just numbers. What's your name? 01LC Recaptcha.
Dude, we've got a sweet dystopian movie plot going right here.
I think this is a book.
Yeah.
Keep a lookout for our book.
Available next week in stores everywhere.
Yes. All right. Well, this was a great podcast. Join us next time. And I have no catchphrase for leaving the show.
Don't get mana screwed like we did.
Yes. That's a good one.
Thanks.